Hi, my name is Bria, and I am here at Joy on Paper Radio, filling in for Patsy Gill. And today we have a very special show. It is a science fiction themed show with two incredible authors, G.S. Jensen and Alan Dean Foster. So my very first guest, G.S. Jensen, will be on in just a moment. We're going to start with the science fiction book buzz review that I got the privilege of doing for her wonderful book, Medusa Falling. Big Ed, thank you so much for having me here in the studio with you. Would you go ahead and play that book buzz?
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2023 space opera, Medusa Falling by G.S. Jensen, with stellar narration by Piper Down. This Cosmic Shores novel is a standalone adventure set in the Amaranth universe. Now, let's download the book buzz. Ambassador Marley Morano steps out of her own world through a wormhole portal, leaving Concord behind and entering the alien planet Bellaria, smacking headlong into the scene of a murder. First contact with the alien race known as Belliscosians should have been a diplomatic meet and greet, not an event that turned Marley into the witness of a crime. The evident murderer, a Belliscosian named Galian, kidnaps Marley and brings her to the secret rebel base of the Tarazi, a group protecting the Desbida, victims of a shadow government that the rest of the world believes is nothing more than a theory. One of the Desbida shares the truth of her story with Marley, who realizes she's misunderstood nearly everything she'd witnessed. But the Tarazi don't trust her to keep their secrets from her own government on Concord, and they block her quantum communications, which means the rising tensions between the two planets could escalate into all-out war. Marley will do whatever it takes to keep that from happening, even if it means risking her own life for her new friends. This espionage space opera mashup launches readers into a page-turning adventure that's sure to please with a little subterfuge on the side. G.S. Jensen, an internationally best-selling author since her first novel, Starshine, was published in 2014, is a gypsy at heart. When she isn't writing, she's gaming or working out, or she's sitting on her back porch with a glass of wine looking up at the stars, trying to figure out what could be up there. This is Bria Burton with your Futuristic Fiction Fix, signing off.
Now that you've heard a little bit behind the book, let's talk to G.S. Jensen. Hello, G.S., and welcome to the show.
Hi, Bria. Thank you so much for having me today.
I am thrilled to be chatting with you, and after reading your book, I can't wait to read more in the Amaranthi universe. And am I saying that correctly? It's Amaranthi?
Yes, absolutely. The E at the end, you can sort of hint at or pronounce or not pronounce at all. Yeah, whatever your preference.
Okay, awesome. And so this book, Medusa Falling, is a standalone, but there is a whole series that people can dive into if they want to just digest book after book after book. Tell us a little bit what led you, because this is your most recent release, correct, Medusa Falling?
Yes.
What led you to step outside of the series that you were in to do a standalone?
Well, the most recent series within the Amaranth universe was a 6-book epic, huge space opera series that, you know, all of the books before it had led up to it, and, you know, universe threatening, species threatening. It was just gigantic, and it was wonderful, and closed it out in a great way. But after those 6 books, I feel like everyone was exhausted. Oh. I was exhausted. the characters were definitely exhausted, and my readers were probably a little exhausted, too. So we all deserved a break.
Yeah.
So I decided to, write a couple of standalone, in my head, I've called them adventure novels, featuring some of the reader favorite characters from the series. And so we could just have fun for a little while.
Oh, that is, well, after saving the universe, I can see why everyone needed a break. And the neat thing is getting to explore a character that maybe wasn't front and center in the other series. So Marley, because I've read this book, but I haven't read the series yet. Tell us, where does she show up in the series prior to where we meet her in Medusa Falling?
All right. Well, she is present from the beginning, but in the first book, Starshine, she's 5 years old.
Ah.
Her her uncle, Caleb, who she references several times in Medusa Falling, is one of the two main characters in Starshine, and in fact, in the first 9 books. So we see her in relation to him. He, you know, he loves her very much, you know, and she's, of course, not surprisingly, a hugely precocious child, full of curiosity and wonder about the world and everything.
Yes.
In that respect, she never changes.
Which is a great protagonist to have her own story.
And that's definitely one of the big reasons why I chose her for her own novel. So readers do get to see her grow up over the course of the 19 books that come before this. She is not one of the main characters, but she is always present, and as she gets older, she does play a larger and larger role. So by the time we get to this point, then yes, she is ready to stand on her own.
Okay. Oh, that is so neat. And 19 books. You've been writing for a while. Am I right?
I've been writing for 10 years. Actually, the 10-year anniversary of my first book is coming up in March. I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations. That is so exciting.
Thank you. And since it was a big success, I get to write full time. So,
that is incredible.
So yeah, this is what I do.
Yes, I saw from your website that you started off with Starshine, the book you just mentioned, as the first in the series, and you mentioned the 19 books. So if you're a reader listening and you love books that just keep on and the series keeps going and you don't want it to end, apparently by book 19 you will, and you'll be ready for a standalone. But but that's so wonderful that you have this entire series that readers who may, like me, may just jump in because Medusa Falling popped up. I want to say I found it through Chirp Books and I listened to the audiobook. They can still go back and enjoy the rest of your series. And when you started writing this series, had you written other books before, or was Starshine your very first novel?
It was my very first novel. I of course, I wrote when I was young, I think most of us do, high school, college, that type of thing. Then I went to law school and became a corporate attorney, in which case I wrote a lot, but those were incredibly boring, dull words.
Very different kind of writing, yeah.
A very different kind of writing. And honestly, kind of zapped my creative energy for a long time. I quit writing. I pretty much quit reading for fun for almost a decade. So after I left the legal profession, I came back to it and actually started writing fan fiction for video games. And that was just for fun, just because I loved the worlds that were created.
That is so neat. And is that something you would write just on your own, or would you contribute to websites where others were writing fan fiction for the video games?
Oh, sure. There are fanfiction.net, Archive of Our Own, DeviantArt. They all post fan fictions and organize them by the IP that people are writing for and that type of thing.
Okay,
Out as just a little, yeah.
So there's a whole community, there.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And it was the comments from people who love the same video games that, you know, really encouraged me to keep going. And then it just kind of got out of control. And eventually, after about 400,000 words, I had the thought that, you know what, I could maybe do this for real. Started creating my own original, you know, an independent world.
And you write as an independent author, not through a traditional press, right?
That's true. Yes, correct. I have my own publishing company.
Okay, and so you
everything
you myself. Set up your own publishing company in order to put your books out. And I love what you said. I saw this somewhere on your website, maybe in your bio, talking about you wanted the control over your stories, and that sounded like a big piece of why you chose independent publishing. And tell us a little bit about that process, because if there's a listener out there who has a book and is thinking, you know, I don't know that any publisher would pick this up, but I feel so passionate about this story, it probably will help for them to hear what are some of the things that you did to get your first book out.
Yes, and when I started, independent publishing was really just starting to come into its own. It had been viable for a couple of years, but it was under the radar, and it was really just starting to take off. So I had to educate myself on everything at the time, all of the technicals. But now it is a huge industry. It has come so far, and so many people are publishing, so it's really easy to do at this point. So I would absolutely encourage someone today. It is, of course, you can hire the people you need to easily for editing and formatting, print and ebook, and audiobook is exploding. And so there are so many avenues available now that weren't available to me back then. There are websites and blogs and podcasts completely devoted to independent publishing, so it's easy to find out what you need a lot easier than it was.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of audiobook, so when you decided to do an audiobook version, and let's just focus on Medusa Falling for the moment, how do you get a narrator, like someone who's going to read your book? Is that a process that you also had to navigate and learn about?
Yes. Now, Piper Down has narrated all of my audiobooks. So when Starshine became an unexpected hit, I started getting all these messages from people. You know, I want an audiobook. I need an audiobook. The thought had honestly not even occurred to me. I'm not an audiobook listener. But since it was a success, I had the, you know, resources to do that. And the production wing of Audible, which is actually owned by Amazon, is called ACX. And they hook narrators and authors up together. Narrators basically register on their website, and the audiobook production is handled through their website. So I listed Starshine, you know, for audiobook and accepted auditions from narrators that are registered on ACX. And Piper just completely blew it out of the water. There was no, you know, no comparison to the other people who had auditioned. So we contracted to do Starshine, and it was so wonderful, and she's so amazing that I have never let her go since then.
She's the narrator that I got to listen to. What a neat thing that all now 20 of your books are narrated by the same person. That is very cool.
Well, as you know, because you've listened to it, you know, her characterization is great, and the voices and accents and personalities that she's able to convey are really special. And so when you're writing a series, continuity, I think, is important
yes.
for listeners.
Yeah.
And that, so, you know, at this point, yeah, her voice is the voice of Marley. And if someone else was to do it in the next book, I think that would be really disjointed for listeners. So continuity is important.
Yeah. She does this incredible job of creating very unique voices for each character, because there's... Even though Marley is our main point of view character, we do get to have Galien's point of view briefly, and then other characters during dialogue are speaking. She does an incredible job of helping the reader differentiate. As I was listening, I knew who was talking, even if it didn't say, said Marley, said so-and-so. It was like, oh, I get who this is, because she has so well established each character. And let's talk a little bit about the story of Medusa Falling. You take readers on this wonderful, almost like espionage, government, shadow government, underground rebellion. It's a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit about these characters and what's going on in the Belliscosian world up until the point where Marley steps into it.
And, you know, I'm glad that you asked that, because while Marley is the main character, in many ways, this is really the Belliscosian story.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
about their society, their relationships, their history, their hopes and dreams, their mistakes, you know, all of that. And what I really wanted to do here, I mean, I call it a full immersion first contact adventure. Marley is thrown into this world, and, you know, the reader and her are completely immersed in this culture in these people, and Marley doesn't know what's going on at first, and the reader probably doesn't either, but they discover it together throughout the story. So the Belliscosians are technologically, they're a couple of decades ahead of where we are right now, back in the real world. You know, they've got space stations all out around their solar system, and they've got cybernetics and quantum technology and hover cars and that type of thing. But of course, their history is completely different from Ayers and is really unique in a lot of ways. They have the ability to communicate and sense feelings and emotions amongst family members and close friends. They call them emonals, and it's resulted in a very close-knit society. Their families are very close-knit, and if they choose other people to basically welcome into their adopted family, then they enjoy that same closeness with them as well. And that impacts a lot of their choices and their society as a whole. Unfortunately, you know, that sounds all rosy and happy and everything, but they have their problems. Their government at this point is effectively controlled by a corporatist cabal they call the IRGM. It's basically, you know, it's Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and a couple of their closest friends have gotten together and decided to run things without ever being elected. And they're somewhat nefarious and everything. So about 25 years ago, they started doing genetic experimentation with newborns, and they were trying to strengthen the emonals. And unfortunately, in a small percentage of the population, resulted in a mutation in which you had children who could read minds, read anyone's mind. It extended the emonals out far beyond their family to anyone they met on the street. And it manifested during puberty, so it took a while before they knew what had happened. And this resulted in a major convulsion in their society. That ultimately led to the DeZeta, is what the people with the mutations are called, led to them being imprisoned, basically, in camp. And the public was lied to about the nature of the mutation. They were told that the DeZeta had gone crazy and were a danger to everyone, and so had to be isolated. And that wasn't true. The truth is they're mostly a danger to powerful people and that type of thing. And so Galien, the main Bella Scotian character, his twin sister was a DeZeta. And that leads to him joining a rebel group dedicated to trying to free the DeZeta and expose the truth about them.
And oh, that's kickoff of walking in with Marley.
That was where Marley enters the story.
She enters and there is a dead body. She's meant to like, hi, I'm the ambassador from this other world and we're having first contact.
Hello, have I lost you?
Oh, can you still hear me? Did I lose her? Possibly. Let's see. We might have lost her for just a moment. We're going to see if we can get her back on the phone for these last 5 minutes. So, as she was explaining this incredible story, I hope you, the listener, was getting the feel for this just space opera, awesome, but told in such a wonderfully small story. And I say that because sometimes those big universe, you know, the universes at stake stories can be overwhelming sometimes. And getting into a smaller, more intimate, here's what's happening with this one family on this one world is so often the type of story you can really sink your teeth into. So as Big Ed continues to try to get G.S. Jensen back on the line, I am just going to encourage you, go to her website, GSJENNSEN.com, GSJensen.com. That's two N's with an E at the end, the S-E-N. And this author, you are going to absolutely love her book, Medusa Falling. And then as you just dive into this Amaranthi, however, I love that she didn't mind how it was pronounced. It's however you feel like pronouncing it. You will see from her website the 19 other books that she has for you to explore this really fun adventure universe. And I think we've got you back. Are you back, G? Yes.
I am back. Sorry about that.
Let me tell you just briefly, we are having quite a storm today. So the wind gusts here in Clearwater, Florida are 50 to 60 miles and it's, you know. Woo! So I'm not sure if that has anything to do with it, but I'm glad you're back on the line. And I just love your explanation of what's going on in this world of of the Belliscosians that Marley is thrust into, and you had a great description. It's immersive first contact adventure. That's such a great way to put it. That's exactly what I felt like as I was reading this story. And I'm just curious, you mentioned video games. What type of books, authors, who are some of your great inspirations? You mentioned writing since you were a kid. Who are some of your favorite authors that you would say helped inspire? I know it's not necessarily always the same genre, but sometimes just really good writing can help shape a story. What were some of your authors and books that you enjoyed?
Peter F. Hamilton is probably my favorite science fiction author currently, okay. And probably also closest to my writing style. I also love, you know, Alistair Reynolds. I grew up reading the classics, Isaac Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke. Actually, Asimov's Foundation is what got me into sci-fi in the first place, way back when I was like 13 years old.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, I also grew up reading fantasy. Elizabeth Hayden, Terry Goodkin. I loved thrillers, Robert Ludlum, Tom Clancy, all of that. I read all the time growing up.
And I love that picture of kind of the amalgamation, because your writing has that adventure side to it. There are other types of science fiction. Some of the hard sci-fi sometimes is not so much like a thriller, where your story has a lot of those thriller elements. And I will say, kind of the thing you talked about with their importance of family in this book, there are these really emotionally resonant moments, and really these characters get very vulnerable, and I just was reading thinking like, oh, I am really connecting with this alien race on this other planet in a galaxy far away, where the main character Galen really loves his sister, who has been a victim in this whole scheme, and you get such a beautiful picture of that. And isn't that one of the reasons why we can read and relate to sci-fi, even when it's a space opera set in some other world in some other galaxy, because they are human stories, for lack of a better word. They are.
No, that is, you have nailed it. That is what I have always tried to do. My stories are character driven.
Yes.
First.
Yes.
I mean, of course, there's the cool technology and the cool alien species and space exploration and all of that, but we don't really care unless we care about the characters. And
exactly.
That is always true.
Exactly. So thank you so much for coming to join us for this half hour. And what can readers do to follow you? Do you have social media? Go ahead and tell us all the places they can find you.
Sure. My website is gsjensen.com, and that's spelled with the letter G, the letter S, and then the letter J, E-N-N-S-E-N. And good news is I am exactly that everywhere on social media.
Oh, wonderful.
Facebook, yes. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram are where I'm most active, but I'm on the others as well, and I am G.S. Jensen everywhere.
Awesome. Well, listener, reader, be sure to check out her books, because they are amazing. And thank you again. We'll have to have you back on when you get a new book out.
I would absolutely love that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we'll talk to you again. Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
If you want to follow me at www.briaburton.com, I am on Facebook as Bria Burton, and I have a writer page that you can follow, and I'm also on Twitter/X, whatever it's called these days, and you can find me at Bria Burton, and I'm also on Instagram. So thank you, dear listeners, for joining us for this incredible show, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.